Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the 49er Access Podcast. My name is Sterling Bennett. I know my Wi-Fi is awful, but thank you for joining me once again on round two of tonight's massive free agency updates for the San Francisco 49ers. On a day where San Francisco missed out on Joey Bosa, watch their linebacker number three say no, then try to replace him today. We have Brandon Ayuk updates. Is he going to Jacksonville? Could Justin Simmons be heading to the red and gold in San Francisco? Discussing everything Niners today. And right off the top, while we were doing the last version of the show before the Wi-Fi crapped out on us, Keenan Allen goes to the Bears for a fourth round pick. Hollywood Brown goes to Kansas City. God! I love the NFL. I love the offseason. How fun has this been so far? For Niner fans, it's been kind of a tease for us, right? You have Eric Kendricks, then you don't have him. Oh, you might get Joey Bosa, then you don't get Joey Bosa. But it's been fun so far because as of right now, San Francisco's added a handful of pieces. But as of today, they watched Ray McCloud go to the Atlanta Falcons, signed a two-year, $6 million deal. In a way, set the return specialist market for free agency. I think it's a good deal for him. Happy for him. I do think while some fans may want Cordarrelle Patterson, others might want Jamal Agnew, who was in Jacksonville last year, former All-Pro, I think, as well. My eyes are on Deontay Hardy, who had a punt return touchdown last year for the Buffalo Bills, and I think might fit in that $6 to $7 million range. That was this morning, and later on, we saw Eric Armstead sign a three-year, $51 million deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was released yesterday officially by San Francisco, the longest-tenured 49er, leaves this morning for the Jacksonville Jaguars, heads all the way down to Florida in the Everglades with the same GM who drafted him in 2015, Trent Baalke. Trent Baalke, a guy that likes torn ACLs, torn meniscuses, and knee injuries, gets a guy in Eric Armstead that is coming off a torn meniscus. So Trent Baalke, by all means, never change. Happy for Armstead. Gets, what, $17 million a deal? Didn't want to take a pay cut. Says, no, I'm not playing for $8, $10 million. You're going to pay me my money. And the Jacksonville Jaguars ponied up for him today. Niner Media says, welcome back. Yes, if you weren't here for the first version, we were talking. 5 minutes in, bang, the Wi-Fi goes down. Yes, we're back, talking Niners again. Bobo, I see your comment. I will get to it in just 1 second. If you have any comments, put them in the chat. I will get to them. I promise I do my best to not miss a single one. But let's continue here. Yesterday was, I thought, a pretty big day for the Niners. Well, you trade for Malik Collins. You have your Eric Armstead replacement for a seventh-round pick. It seems like you signed your Dre Greenlaw in a way replacement while he gets healthy in Eric Kendricks. And then after we do a show, we talk about it, dive into why it's a great move for San Francisco. He goes, eh, never mind. I want to go to the Cowboys now. I was like, dude, you couldn't have just waited a day where I was not working. But I digress. Eric Kendricks says yes to San Francisco, then says no to San Francisco, and now is going to Dallas. He did state that he wanted to play under Mike Zimmer again, who was his head coach when they were both in Minnesota. He is now the Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator, so if that's where Eric Kendricks wants to go, you're a traitor in my mind, but good luck in Dallas. Hope you have fun losing in the first round of the playoffs this year. But that move, albeit I don't think it impacted the first move we're going to talk about here, I do think it does kind of points San Francisco in a direction of where's the biggest need you have. And they go, they re-sign Demetrius Flanagan-Falls to a one-year deal, or at least expected to. At this point, if it's not official, we're not saying it's done because of what Eric Kendricks just did to us yesterday. But re-signing DFF was a deal we talked about for months on the podcast. It's one I expected. It was either going to be Burks or Flanagan-Falls. My choice was Flanagan-Falls. Happy it happened. Makes sense. If he's your fourth linebacker, you're perfectly fine with that. It gives the Winters time to catch back up. But I do think it also gives you some depth at a much needed position, and it gives you special teams versatility. This special teams unit, George Odom, in previous years, Oren Burks, McLeod, when you watch some of those guys leave, you have to make sure you retain some. Getting DFF makes a lot of sense. And the next guy, as Fluffy Ninja just brings up in the chat, what's going on, Fluffy? Rumor of Devontae Campbell, interest in San Francisco. That is what our first conversation will be here on the podcast. The San Francisco 49ers, according to NBC Sports' Matt Maiocco, are showing, and I quote, strong interest in former Packer linebacker Devondre Campbell. When I heard this move, I said, well, I don't like it. I don't like the interest in Devondre Campbell simply because the market's so thin that any move they make to not replace Greenlaw, but almost kind of insert a player as number two until Greenlaw's healthy again, does come from a position of a very, very, very weak linebacking market. So you really aren't going to find anybody out there. Hence why losing Kendricks was such a big deal. You got a guy that didn't allow a single passing touchdown all year, had a 6% missed tackle rate. It was like, yes, they got a guy. Then you go to Devondre Campbell, who, former Packer, former Cardinal, I believe. Some say in the chat that he was a Falcon. I know he was a Packer and a Cardinal. But he's a name, right? Where you say, oh, Devondre Campbell, he was good, right? And yes, at a certain time, when he was 29 years old, Devondre Campbell was an All-Pro in 2021. Okay, cool, great, that's fine. But he has not been the same player the last two seasons. I am someone who has watched this team this offseason go make it a point to sign durable players. We've talked so much the past couple shows. Durability is key. And at a position where you're technically thin, despite having some bodies there, but you're not just trying to get a body in the building, you're trying to get a durable body behind Dre Greenlaw that, in case Greenlaw isn't who you think he's going to be or isn't healthy enough, that guy can play, you know, 10-plus games, right? Devondre Campbell played 11 games last year. Don't love that. Excuse me. I'm still sick. I apologize. He's also missed 10 games the last two seasons. That does not scream durable. And for a team, which we talked about when they supposedly signed Eric Kendricks, of like, wow, 6% missed tackle rate, this is great. Devondre Campbell, the past 2 years, has missed 21 tackles, whereas in his All-Pro season, he missed just 4 all year long. Now, Green Bay did have a scheme change during his tenure there. Would bringing him here improve him, getting him into a, you know, a 4-3, you know, Seattle defense? Maybe it will. I'm not discounting Devondre Campbell as a piece. I'm just saying the past 2 years have not been pretty. In fact, has he not only missed time? Has he not only missed tackles? Last year was his worst coverage season he's ever had. He was horrible. When opposing offenses targeted Devondre Campbell, he allowed nearly 400 yards, 390 yards, 3 touchdowns, had no interceptions, and allowed a 135.7 rating. People were saying, well, it's a great move. He's a backup. Yeah, that's your linebacker 3, fine. The difference is, while they're in a kind of a tricky, sticky situation, there really isn't that solid number two guy. I would much rather have paid up a little more money to keep Eric Kendricks than sign Devondre Campbell, who is a liability in the passing game and has missed 21 tackles the past 2 years. And let's just say Devondre Campbell has a small bounce back season. Let's say he misses, okay, he's averaging 10 missed tackles the past 2 years. Let's say he misses 8. Okay, it's not horrible, but it's not where you want to be. On a defense that missed a ton of tackles last year, we praised the Kendricks move of being, man, they have a guy that wants to tackle, who doesn't miss tackles, who is good in pass coverage. That's the exact opposite of Devondre Campbell. I get he's a body. He's a name. There might be some Shanahan ties to Atlanta. Whatever. That don't mean you're good anymore. That don't mean you're good at all. At all. I do not love the idea of bringing in Devondre Campbell in to this defense. Do you like it? After I read those stats off to you, I wouldn't. Like, when I saw it, I said, he's slower, he's older, he's injured, he misses tackles. Like, that does not scream, yeah, potential Dre Greenlaw placeholder. It screams, oh my God, you could be a liability. I'd rather you play Flanagan Falls. I'd rather you re-sign Oren Burks. Like, come on. Come on. I'm so sorry, I'm sick. I really apologize. I do want to move on to the chat in a hot second, because there was a good question in here. Niner Media again, do you know what's happening with Floyd being Leonard Floyd? So what you're asking is, why hasn't he signed yet? Why hasn't Leonard Floyd signed yet? I have one theory, and I believe to be one fact. My one fact is, San Francisco, as of right now, after officially signing Yetur Gross-Matos and Jordan Elliott and re-signing Kevin Gibbons, they are currently $4 million over the salary cap. And I know that makes people panic of like, oh my goodness, they don't have any money. What they're doing is that, hey, Leonard Floyd, we have a deal for you in place. Give us a couple days. We are going to restructure people, extend people. We're going to make the room for you on the cap, and we're going to have you on a deal in a couple days. Does that get a little scary? Because, okay, well, you had a deal with Eric Kendricks. He backed out of it, and people were like, whoa, it already happened once this offseason. Is it going to happen again? I think Leonard Floyd is going to get paid good money. What is it, 2 years, $20 million? 10 a year, with everybody else already being signed, I don't think people are going to jump at the bit to get Leonard Floyd out of San Francisco's hands. People have already spent their salary cap money, and nobody else really needs an edge rusher of Leonard Floyd's pedigree. So I wouldn't panic too much. I just think that San Francisco is probably looking at Juwan Jennings saying, hey, second round tender, $4.8 million. I think his cap it is. They want to extend him, get that cap money down. They're probably going to try to extend Mooney Ward, get that cap down, move those void years out, or get rid of him entirely. I would like to think those are the moves they're trying to execute. Maybe it's a restructure of somebody else like a Deebo Samuel, which I would advise against that, knowing you can get out of the contract next year. But I would not panic on Leonard Floyd's contract. And just give them a couple days. Could be tomorrow for all we know. I would like to think they have things in the works. And they've already tried to bring back Demetrius Flanagan Falls. Like, they're going to make room for their free agents. We do have a comment here by Robbie439. And that will bring us to our next topic here. Khalil Mack coming off a 17-sack season takes a pay cut. Joey Bosa coming off an injury-riddled season takes a pay cut. Eric Armstead coming off two injury-filled seasons and an off-season surgery demands a trade. I don't think Armstead demanded a trade. I think it was, okay, take a pay cut. I don't want to take a pay cut. Okay, fine. What do we do? Let's send him somewhere where he's comfortable. While he's not from Texas, he knows DeMeco Ryans. Jimmy Ward's out there. they'd win a lot of games. They're building the team around them. He'd also be on a defensive line where he wouldn't have to be like an A, you know, a 1A, 1B. He wouldn't even have to be a B. They have Dino Hunter. They have Will Anderson. They have the Neko Autry. Like, they have so many pieces there where he wouldn't have to really be an important part of it. He can be a cog in that machine. Whereas here in San Francisco, it was Bosa and Hargrave and Armstead, then insert opposite edge. He wouldn't have to be that in Houston. So I wouldn't say he asked for a trade. I just think for San Francisco's sake, they were trying to give one of their veteran players who had been here for almost a decade a chance to go win elsewhere. Hence, Houston, where he'd be comfortable. But again, your points on Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa brings me to our next topic. The San Francisco 49ers did not acquire Joey Bosa. So what exactly happened with Joey Bosa? We know for a fact San Francisco had been monitoring his market and monitoring his availability for a couple weeks now, with the knowledge of, hey, the Chargers are going to be up against the cap. They're going to have to make some moves. The difference is the Chargers didn't cut their edge rushers. They got rid of their receivers. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams out the door. Williams is straight up cut. Keenan Allen got traded to Chicago for a fourth round pick, and the Bears are going to now have Caleb Williams and DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Montez Sweat, and insert all those picks they have. They are cooking in Chicago. Jalen Johnson's still there. I mean, my God. And they can trade Justin Fields for that fourth round pick again, and it feels like they lost nothing. Their head coach might stink. We will certainly find out, but Chicago is cooking this offseason. All that to say, Joey Bosa restructured his contract and will remain with the Chargers. Took a massive pay cut, I believe. Converted it mostly to bonuses and incentives, but Joey Bosa is not coming to San Francisco. He had a $7 million roster bonus due tomorrow, which is kind of what we were all waiting for. It was, okay, once Friday comes, what's going to happen with Joey Bosa? You have Mike Silver pointing out, hey, this could be an option. Diana Rossini said, hey, this could be an option. And the Chargers kept signing people, even this morning with Hayden Hurst. Hey, how are you going to fit these guys under the contract? Which led everyone to think, you're not keeping Mack and Bosa. You're keeping one of those guys. They ended up keeping both and trading away Keenan Allen. But I do think that if you read Mike Silver's article today in the Chronicle, it was great. It was insightful. We did get an idea as to what San Francisco is trying to be cooking up, trying to cook up here this offseason. So, yes, while they did not get Joey Bosa, according to Mike Silver, they were not going to wait until he got cut. The Niners, according to Mike Silver, attempted to trade for Joey Bosa. Now, what does that mean? Okay, when you trade for somebody, you take on the majority of that contract. In fact, I believe had they traded for Joey Bosa, they would have taken on roughly $40 million in cap. Now, of course, they'll make a restructure. They will change his contract just like the Chargers did today. That being said, what does that tell us about San Francisco? Now, they're going for this thing. They are willing to spend big money, nearly $40 million, if it means acquiring an elite player that can help this team win it all. My entire thesis this offseason was, you're at the right tackle, go pay for an edge rusher, and cut Eric Armstead. While some of those things have occurred, Leonard Floyd's great. He'll sign in a few days. I'm hoping so. San Francisco is going to trade for Joey Bosa, not wait for him to get cut on a cheap one-year deal, team-friendly contract. Come play with Nick for free, Joey. We're going to trade for you. Trade draft capital for you. I'm assuming at least a fourth, if not a higher pick, for Joey Bosa and take on that contract. They did not fear the cap ramifications of acquiring Joey Bosa. That tells me San Francisco isn't just all in. They're willing to acquire a big name, big contract piece if it means winning it all. If it means giving this team a chance to take them to where they need to be come February. They are like, go read Mike Silver's article. He talks about Kyle Shanahan just sitting there looking in the mirror being like, this is not good enough. We could have lost in the first and second round. We got lucky to even be playing Kansas City. And you should have won the whole thing. He talks about Kyle Shanahan being like, look, it was going to be embarrassing if we lost in that first round against the Packers or the Lions. And it was embarrassing how the season ended anyways. All that to say, they're making all these moves. They're being aggressive because they want to win it all again. And they're not going to wait for a player of elite caliber, of big money status and stature, to get cut. They're going to be aggressive and make that move via trade. Now, they didn't happen, but they're trying to. I don't have a name in mind, but it makes you wonder, what else are they willing to do? Who else are they willing to try and acquire if they tried for Joey Bosa and you're at nearly $40 million of cap? Again, they'll restructure it, but they're willing to spend big money, draft capital, to acquire Joey Bosa. Again, didn't happen. I like our team now, but take Joey Bosa. Like, does them not getting Bosa upset you? Is it like, oh man, like we didn't get Joey Bosa, that stinks? Because I look at it two ways. There's a lot of boom. Just 2 years ago, he was the third most productive pass rusher in football when it comes to pass rush win rate. The other way is, he's missed 20 games the past 2 years and has an 89% chance to get hurt again via draft sharks. My whole thing was, it has to be a cheap deal, has to be cheap. They were saying, screw that, give me Joey Bosa full freaking price. That kind of scares me. Like, maybe you dodged the bullet. But also, that means they're gearing back up, guys. Like, had that article by Mike Silver said, yeah, they were waiting for him to get cut, I would say, yeah, we all thought that. No, they were going for it all. They were trying to trade for Joey Bosa. Not sign him off a cheap one-year, $8 million deal. Take a pay cut. No, they were trying to trade for Joey Bosa. I thought that was really crazy. Again, I have no names in mind, but maybe you do. If there is this kind of white whale, big-name player you want this team to acquire, well, it has to make sense. Like, Joey Bosa makes sense. You get Nick Bosa, his brother, an elite edge rusher when healthy on this defense. Wow. Like, now we're talking, okay, like, it almost keeps your brain and the door open for anybody can be acquired. Anybody, like, this team could have interest in anybody. And they could try to trade for anybody. Like, again, I have no names in mind, but okay. Like, you are telling your fan base, or in this case, Mike Silver, that, yeah, like, we will do what it takes, even if it kills our cap. Even if it... Perfect name right here. Niner Media. Maybe Patrick Surtain. I know there was some reports, rumors of they tried and didn't work. They certainly tried during the midseason acquisition line or trade deadline last year. That didn't work out. I don't think Denver wants to trade him. But that being said, if you're going for Bosa, like, why not Patrick Surtain? Why couldn't that be on the table? Like, a lot of times you see certain fans toss out, well, they're going to trade for this guy and that guy. And you're like, there's no effing way that's going to happen. This makes you sit back and say, okay, like, it actually might happen. Now, in most cases, it won't, but it certainly makes you open-minded to the idea of, wow, anybody could be attainable for this team at the right price. And they might be willing to pay said price, at least via financially. Draft capital is a different question. But financially, they're willing to pay a hefty price if it means winning. And I love that. I love that. Randy Daytona, always love Randy. Surtain's cheap. Why would they part? They have to pay him soon. That's why, Randy. Denver, like, there's two perspectives here to each trade. There's what you want for your team, and it's what the other team may want. Like, you see all these fans trade. Let's trade a 7th round pick for Patrick Mahomes. And you're like, okay, stop it. Like, seriously, stop it. But in Sertan's case, they already tried to trade him this year, or this past year. Didn't get the offers they wanted, which is fine, it happens. But they have to pay him soon. And it's a new regime, new head coach. I think it's new GM, I believe. Like, they just cut bait with Russell Wilson. They have to pay him like $80 million this year. Like, if they're going to cut that, why would you want to pay Sertan? If you don't, like, you're willing to eat up $80 million to pay somebody to not play for you. Why would you then want to keep Sertan, who's a great player? There's an easy sell as to why you would keep him. But if that's the case, just keep Russell Wilson on the team for one more year. Like, he ain't got a start for you. Just keep him on the team for one more year. Like, it certainly lowers an $80 million cap hit, dead cap hit. Like, my God. So in Sertan's case, for Denver, yeah, he's cheap. That makes him more, it makes other teams want to have him. But it also means his trade value is super high. First round pick, first, maybe it's two firsts. It makes your rebuild, you can jumpstart it really quick. That's why, Randy. If I was Denver, I'd keep him. But if they want to trade him.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You want to give me Mooney Ward, Patrick Sertan, and Lenore, and Amber Thomas is your fourth? Womack and Luter are your fifth and sixth? I mean, bring that on. Will it happen? I have no idea. But if the Bosa story is true, and Mike Silver has been hitting 1,000 this offseason, why wouldn't it be true? Why couldn't they go and ask for Sertan? I guarantee you they've asked for Sertan. I guarantee you they've asked for Sertan. And in Sertan's case, you have Mooney Ward. He wants an extension. Why wouldn't you? Even if you want to let Mooney Ward leave in the offseason, or in two offseasons, you have Sertan, you can extend Sertan. And next year you can trade Deebo Samuel away and free up more money. Like, each year now there's going to be one player that leaves. That's how this thing goes. Unless they're restructuring left and right, I would expect in a year or two time we're going to see players like Mooney Ward, if he isn't extended, Deebo Samuel, gone, out the door. Again, unless they make these extensions or restructures. Like, people are going to have to go by the wayside to continue your success, and you have to pay Brock Purdy. Bobo here says, I believe Chase Young is back on a one-year deal. So that's one thing we know now, is that San Francisco wants to get one more edge rusher. Now, I was someone who was hoping, praying, that they went out and got DJ Wanham. He signed for, I think, 2 years, $8 million a year, maybe seven. Good for him with Carolina, I believe. But they at least want one more body. If Chase Young wants to come back, just like Joey Bosa, on a one-year, cheap, prove-it deal, like Dan Graziano said, because San Francisco was disappointed in Chase Young, they're not paying him big money. You want to come back for a year? $5-6 million? By all means, let's go. The potential's there. That's why you're bringing Leonard Floyd and Gross Matos to have the effort once you have to bench Chase Young halfway through the year because he's not playing well or because he's, like, taking plays off. You have high-effort guys. That's why I think Chase Young is not coming back, but I believe Carolina signed Wanham and Clowney, so I don't think Chase Young is going there, which he already visited there. I'm not really sure where else he has a kind of... I don't know where else he's going to go. If he wants to come back to San Francisco, that's fine. Like, that's okay. It's got to be cheap. Got to be a one-year deal. But all that to say, San Francisco trying for a player in Joey Bosa who has missed 20 games, but when healthy is elite, like, there's a big risk there. They're willing to pay if the reward is also there. With Joey Bosa, it may have been. We talked about if they acquired Joey Bosa, right? they would have added 168 sacks to this team's defensive resume. That's a plus 73 from last year's squad. Clowney hasn't signed yet. Thank you so much. Just visiting. Okay. Chase Young can still go to Carolina. Goodbye. Whatever. But if they got Joey Bosa, you're adding elite level play with a massive injury risk. San Francisco said, okay, we will pay that price. It at least makes me intrigued. Moving on to another quote in the Mike Silver article, because I think this has to do with the fan favorite in Talanoa Hufanga. In the article, if you haven't read it yet, go read it. It's great. Mike Silver says, and I quote, "Talanoa Hufanga, coming off a torn ACL, is not assured his starting job." There's two ways to read that. Is one, well, he's injured. It's an ACL. It takes guys 1 year to recover and 1 year to get back to who they were prior to. It's not likely they come back like Adrian Peterson did and be the darn MVP. It doesn't happen like that. It's going to take Hufanga time, most likely. So there's two ways to read that. One, okay, yeah. Hufanga, get this kind of backup safety level guy that can also start a Quandre Diggs and Ashton Davis, insert piece here. Be a stopgap player, kind of like you're looking for a linebacker for Dre Greenlaw. That makes sense. Or there's the other way to look at this, and it's because the names Mike Silver listed were not players in that category of a stopgap veteran safety. Now, Hufanga's 24 years old. Former first-team All-Pro, has 7 total interceptions in his entire career. Okay? We have seen the importance of Hufanga to this defense. My mind always goes to the Packers game in the playoffs when he wasn't even a starter yet, or the Saints game, what, 2 years ago now? Maybe it was 1 year ago now, where he forces Kamara to fumble at the goal line and saves the game for San Francisco. We have seen the importance of Hufanga. But when I hear Mike Silver mention names like Justin Simmons and Cam Curl and Julian Blackman in a conversation alongside the quote, "Hufanga's not assured his starting job," that makes me sit back and say, whoa, like, whoa, what do you mean Hufanga's not getting his job back? Okay, again, maybe it's a stopgap. Okay, that's fine. But you're naming some big dogs in free agency. Now, he did mention for cheap, right? But Justin Simmons is not just a random guy off the street. He's a 4-time second team All-Pro, nearly a decade in the NFL. Like, Justin Simmons is not no lapdog safety you find off the street, like Ashton Davis might be from the Jets. No. Like, this is a guy that you bring in to start that has plenty of time left on his legs, who's not going to lose a step, a guy who you can still look back and say, hey, you were a second-team All-Pro this year. He's 30 years old, 604 career tackles, 30 career interceptions. Now, in this case, you'd have to move Jair Brown to strong safety. If that's what they want to do, fine. But if they're willing to pay for Joey Bosa in a really cheap safety class, why wouldn't you pay a little extra for a year or two of Justin Simmons? Like, I get positional value, edge rusher, safety, but if you cannot confirm, and they'll have to wait and see for OTAs and mini camp and training camp, but if you don't want to confirm that Talanoa Hufanga gets his job back, okay, that's fine. But then you're going to go tell me, hey, we're going to go for a big dog, one of the big guys. Cool. That's great. But honestly, it feels like San Francisco is sitting here like, you know what? We like Hufanga a lot. In 1 year's time, we got to pay him. In fact, Hufanga's a free agent after this season. Does this mean that if Hufanga doesn't play well, they can get him for cheap and hope he's a starter in 2 years? Okay, I'm cool with that. A cheaper Hufanga is good for us, right? I hope he gets paid. Big money. I hope he gets healthy. The better and healthier he is, the better for us, better for him. It's a win-win, right? But this tells me, okay, that San Francisco may not view him as a starter in 2 years. That San Francisco might sit back and say, you know what? You know, we want to keep you, but if we can bring in a starting safety this year, it certainly drives your value down. It makes you cheaper for us, where when we do want to extend you, it'll be a little cheaper, and you'll help us out on the cap a lot. Like, that makes sense to me for the team perspective. Hey, not to be nefarious, but like, man, like, in ACLs, like, when you hurt your ACL, it's usually not just your ACL. Like, I almost tore my UCL in my arm playing baseball when I was young. It was like 15, 16. Like, it messed up my forearm. It messed up my bicep, my shoulder. And it wasn't all catastrophic, but I was like 16. I wasn't a 24-year-old strong safety in the NFL putting that much stress on my body. Like Jose says here, maybe they know something that they're not putting out about his Achilles, he means ACL, is really effed up. Jose, maybe you're right. We'll never know that, but here's the thing. Even if it is right, and they want to get a Justin Simmons or a Cam Curl or a Julian Blackman, they like the fact that Hufanga, if he's that messed up, and I hope he's not, he's a great player. If he's that messed up, uh-oh. Because although Justin Simmons is a four-time second-team All-Pro, the three names that were listed was a 30-year-old Justin Simmons. Okay? I ain't paying you when you're 32, 33. Excuse me again. I'm not paying you when you're 32 for a safety, no way. Cam Curl, that name makes a lot more sense. Washington safety last year, played 16 games, three of the past four seasons. A little more like Hufanga, hard-hitting tackler. He has five career sacks. He has 385 career tackles, 83 the past four seasons. But he only has three interceptions. And he's had none the past 3 years. Okay, that's more of an in-the-box guy. Cool. You don't really need that kind of player. Like, when Hufanga went down, what did they do? They had Jair Brown, the in-the-box guy, the hard-hitting, strong safety style. Then they had Gibson, who was a smaller guy, hard hitter, sure, but he can play deep. He's a vet. He can also roam a little bit because Jair Brown's kind of slow. He plays fast, but he's kind of slow. He didn't want those burners on him. Like, uh-oh. He gonna get a little toasty up there. Like, you don't want that happening. And the other guys that were listed, so Justin Simmons, 1-2-year deal, fine. Once you hit 32, sayonara. I'm not paying a 32-year-old safety. Not doing it. Then they mentioned Cam Curl, in the box guy, plays more like Hufanga, in the box guy, strong tackler, this, that, and the other. Then he mentions Julian Blackman. Okay, fine. Let's talk about Julian Blackman, Colts safety. He's a free agent now, coming off the best year of his career. Well, that sounds enticing, right? 15 games, all starts, 88 tackles, 65 solo tackles, 4 interceptions, a team high, 8 pass defenses, and 5 tackles for loss. Both those being career highs. I mean, that sounds really good. You want to bring that guy in? Sure. Great. The box score just says wonderful things. So Simmons is 30. Cam Curl is a play style kind of like Jair Brown, kind of like Hufanga. Isn't that roaming safety you might want behind Jair Brown? And Julian Blackman tore his ACL in 2019 in college and tore his Achilles in 2021. The names that were listed as cheap, higher-end potential replacements or starters in the meantime that could, if Hufanga isn't ready, take a spot. there's a lot of boom and also a lot of bust. Like, of those three guys, for health's sake, give me Cam Curl. For veteran, roaming safety style, probably going to be an all-pro again this year, give me Justin Simmons. But he ain't getting a three-year deal. He ain't getting a three-year deal. Then you have Julian Blackman, who, out of the three, might be the most ascending young player coming off a career year that has already torn his ACL and his Achilles. Like, you're healthy now. Your injury history does not predict your future, sure. Like, Hufanga could come back. He could be awesome. And we're sitting here looking back saying, what the heck are we talking about? I'd rather have that conversation than overpay for an older safety for a three-year deal. Now, again, the safety market's in the toilet. I have a hard time believing that a player like Julian Blackman wants to come to San Francisco knowing that, well, he may or may not be a starter off a career year. I have a hard time believing so. Cam Curl makes some sense. He was in Washington. Adam Peters was there. Well, is there now? There's a lot of familiarity with Washington players and San Francisco, despite there being no true connection between the two teams. And Justin Simmons probably wants to win it all this year. That would make sense. Or there are two other names, which we've talked about plenty of times already. If San Francisco does not believe Hufanga can be a starter this year, and they feel better about him once they have to extend him, mind you, if they feel better about him being a safety in 2 years' time, post-extension, I think the best one-year stopgap, third safety kind of look after you've already brought in or re-signed George Odom for two more years, which could be a key into why Hufanga or why this comes out now. Like, you extend George Odom for 2 years, why? He's an older safety, special team guy, want to get the cap it down, sure. But Hufanga is a free agent after this season. Like, maybe it's all conspiracies and I'm putting dots where they shouldn't be, but it's certainly interesting that a few days after they extend Odom, they're saying Hufanga may not be a starter this year. And you have to extend him after this one. What if Hufanga says, I love San Francisco. I can go play in LA with the Chargers or Rams back near my home. And okay, fine. Like, San Francisco in a way, while improved their team via special teams, may have also insulated themselves and protected themselves if Hufanga leaves or if he's never the same again because of his knee. Hope he is. I watching Hufanga play in OTAs and minicamp the past couple years were awesome. He had a do-rag and the skullcap. He was thumping some people out. It was awesome to watch. It was like, he brings so much energy. But when you list names like Simmons and Blackman and Cam Curl, it doesn't make me think, oh, that's a stopgap. No, that's a starting player more than 1 year. More than 1 year. Then you have players like Quandre Diggs, who, that could be a stopgap. That makes sense. Played in the system. He knows Nick Sorensen. He's lost a step. He knows he isn't the guy anymore. Like, that is the most seamless transition you can have from Seattle with Quandre Diggs to San Francisco, starting in place of Talanoa Hufanga. Then once he gets healthy again, you're working back in the system, the rotation, and then boom, you have Hufanga and Brown as your starting safeties. Or my sleeper of the sleepiest picks, Ashton Davis, had a strong season for the Jets last year. Willing tackler, 6 total takeaways. He started a little bit last year for the Jets. He said he wants to be a starter. You can start this year. He ain't starting next year, though. Like, I think that's a sleeper pick. He knows the system well. He's from Cal. He went to Cal. Makes a lot of sense. But when Mike Silver's naming some big guys out, if the market for safeties, like, the safeties kind of have become running backs. They aren't valued as high anymore. People know you can draft the safety next year. You can plug and play. Like, take the Chiefs, for example. They I feel like Kansas City let all their cornerbacks go a couple years ago. They put in McDuffie. They put in Snead. They just plugged and played young players and said, go get them. And they're great players. Like, they're going to let Snead walk and trade him away. And I guarantee you they will have L'Jarius Snead 2.0. Now, it pays to have a Spagnuolo as your coordinator, making these guys play great. But all that to say that people know that safeties you can find in the draft somewhere. Quentin Lake was like a sixth-round pick for the Rams. I love him out of UCLA. He's great in LA. He's a nice, roaming, pass-covering free safety. He's awesome. People know you can find safeties for cheap. They are the new running backs, right? But if this was a big market for safeties, Simmons would get paid. Blackman would get paid. Cam Curl be a mediocre contract. If you can get one of these guys for a year, maybe two for cheap, but if you see one of these guys sign for 3-4 years, you know something is up with Hufanga. You know. All three of those guys were starting caliber safeties listed, and if one of those three guys signs for a 3-year deal, just keep in the back of your brain what I'm telling you. That is a massive uh-oh for Hufanga. He can get healthy again. He can be great. Maybe in 3 years' time, we're sitting back saying, oh, we have three great safeties. What do we do? But Hufanga's deal is up after this year. Just keep your eyes peeled for that. Okay, we have 15 minutes left. Get your comments down below. Jose, I see you on Facebook. What about Jamal Adams? I'd rather cut off my pinky toe, my pinky finger, and lose an eye than sign Jamal Adams. I get he's an inbox guy. That dude plays more like an edge rusher than a safety. He ain't a linebacker. Like, I'd rather go bring back Marcel Harris and experiment with that guy again than sign Jamal Adams. Like, yikes. Like, that dude is never healthy, wildly overpaid. I was hoping Seattle would keep him. That's how bad he is. I get it, Jose. He's a name. I get it. But just keep him away from San Francisco. Okay. Put your comments down below. What do you think so far of the offseason? What do you think of Hufanga? What do you think of not getting Joey Bosa? Tell me what you think below. And let's get to the asinine, ridiculous, what the you-know-what is going on with Brandon Ayuk rumors that happened to pop up out of nowhere. And in the past 2 days, we've seen these really weird Deebo Samuel might get traded to Baltimore or the Ravens asked about him. And their GM was like, I read the Lorax. It's the same thing. It's all fake and make-believe. And essentially told Jason Lockenfora, you can shove your report up your butt. And then today, we have a report out of nowhere from someone. In all due respect, I get the game. I work in radio. I work at 95.7 The Game. I get it, right? I totally get what the game looks like, what the media game looks like, and I'm only 28 years old, 27 years old, and I'm young into it. All that to say, according to Mia O'Brien of 92.5 FM, the home of the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Jaguars and Brandon Ayuk have quote-unquote mutual interest, per source, obviously, very early. Listen to how that is stated. Brandon Ayuk has mutual interest with the Jaguars, per source, obviously, very early. The obviously very early was like, yeah, I have to protect myself if this is wrong. It's early. Which, okay, I get that. Like, if you've heard something and you think it's true, you want to put it out there, but if it changes, you want to make sure you're not getting all the pushback. I totally get it, Mia. 1,000, like, you could have a valid source from somebody. Who in the world is connected to Brandon Ayuk in Jacksonville? He's from Arizona. He's played in the Bay since 2020. And the only people I know, people were like, well, he follows some players on Instagram. What, CJ Beathard, who was a quarterback here when he was here? What the heck? Jamichael Hasty, who was a player with him here. Christian Kirk, who played for the Cardinals when he was in the NFC West. Like, what? The connections are so thin, you can see through the lines. Now, I'm not saying she's wrong. She could be right. But my other question would be, because Mike Silver also said this, that there could be an inflection point like there was with Debo if Ayuk asks for a trade late in April near the NFL draft. Okay, that makes sense. Cool. Towards the draft, you want to create some leverage. I want out of here. I'm Brandon Ayuk. I want to get paid. And they say, no, sorry. We're not going to trade you. What do you do then? Just like Debo, there was a report when the Niners and Debo were going through the whole contracts. I think it was Tony Pauline. The Jets have offered a godfather deal for Debo Samuel. An offer they can't refuse is a fourth round pick. Like, what? The godfather offers a fourth round pick for, at the time, 2021 All-Pro Debo Samuel? Okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, now, if that was the asking price and San Francisco answered the phone and said, okay, Robert Saleh, have a good night, my friend, and stay off the drugs, hung up on him. What do you think they're going to do if a team like Jacksonville says, we'll give you a fourth round pick? They'll say, no, give us number 17 overall, or it's not happening. Now, that isn't to say they won't trade him. I don't think they will. But if they were going to say no to 2021 All-Pro Debo Samuel being traded nearly to anybody, why would they trade Brandon Ayuk at all? Who I think at this point, although has not shown he can carry a team, in your biggest games this year, when Debo Samuel got hurt against the Packers, who was your receivers? It was Juwan Jennings and Brandon Ayuk, who essentially saved your entire season outside of Juwan Jennings off a ladybug catch. Brandon Ayuk, who's been your most productive receiver the past two seasons? Oh, that's right, Brandon Ayuk. You can't trade Debo this year, so I get it's enticing to trade Ayuk, knowing you can free up money, this, that, and the other. You can get a first-round pick. Probably not going to happen. Hence why they will say no. But what in the world would entice Ayuk to play in Jacksonville? Trevor Lawrence, who Brock Purdy has already shown more than and been more successful than, on a team that's been one of the most inconsistent teams the past 2 years? They almost beat Kansas City in the playoffs 2 years ago, and they couldn't even beat Cleveland this year with Joe Flacco. Now, granted, neither could we with the worst quarterback, but I digress. It's the same point. Jacksonville has talent everywhere. And Eric Armstead now. Name me one person who actually wants to play in Jacksonville other than aging veteran players. Who's the one big free agent they've signed? Brandon Ayuk said himself, I want to sign somewhere that can win me a championship. Let me ask you this. Who is closer to winning a championship? The Jacksonville Jaguars, led by Trent Baalke, of all people, or the San Francisco 49ers, coming off three straight NFC Championship appearances, including one near Super Bowl win with Ayuk on the roster? There is no way Ayuk sits back and says, yep, I'm making a good career choice by playing for the Jaguars. Like, what is this mutual interest, Mia? I respect you. I'm sure you're a great person. And yes, San Francisco could trade Ayuk. In fact, they could trade him to the Jaguars. But if the interest is mutual, Isn't that tampering? How would the Jaguars know? How would Mia know that there is mutual interest? Is it like, okay, yeah, we like Brandon Ayuk. And hey, Brandon, do you like Jacksonville? Yeah, I like Jacksonville. Cool. At some point, you have to confirm that it's not just, well, I like them and they like me too. Do they know they like each other? And if they do, oh, hey, Goodell, that's tampering, my friend. You can't do that. Now, that's why it's, like she said, obviously it's early. Well, like, yeah, it's early. It's freaking March. The draft isn't for a month and a half. He's not going to get paid until freaking May or June when they get $18 million off the books on June 2nd. Brandon Ayuk, like, this to me feels like a, well, I heard something because it makes sense in my mind, and I'm going to put it out there. I am someone, and I will admit this to myself, back when Jimmy Garoppolo, when San Francisco was going to trade up for Trey Lance, and they were trying to get Matthew Stafford, I heard that entire offseason, it's Stafford. They really want Stafford. It's Washington. It's San Francisco. They're all in there. We did a podcast with the reporter in Detroit who said, watch out for the Rams. And I go, well, I haven't heard their name. Well, all I've heard is San Francisco. They're going to cut Jimmy Garoppolo. And yeah, that may have been their plans. But I heard that. I put it out there. It didn't happen. It was like, uh-oh. If I would have put obviously early, I probably would have saved myself a ton of trouble. Now, we know now they had interest in Matthew Stafford. They were trying to get rid of Jimmy. All that to be said, a lot of things are said during the offseason from random accounts, random people, people on radio. People miss all the time. All the time. And in Florida, this is not someone in San Francisco, in the Bay, that knows Ayuk. This is a random person at a Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, radio station in Florida being like, yep, they like each other. Okay, I also liked a bunch of girls in middle school. They didn't know that. What, like, they could have liked me. Like, when I left high school, I found out plenty of girls liked me. I didn't know they liked me, and they didn't know I liked them. Is that mutual interest? No. That's not how that works. Like, yes, he can get traded, sure. Deebo Samuel could theoretically get traded. Does it make sense for both teams? The Jaguars just lost Calvin Ridley. They need that number one guy. San Francisco just lost the Super Bowl. So unless the Jaguars are going to pay up the number 17 overall pick, despite the interest being mutual, why would San Francisco do that? Wouldn't you want to get better? You just tried to acquire Joey Bosa and pay him $40 million on your cap for 2 years. Why would you then trade Brandon Ayuk for the 17 overall pick where you know, unless you're getting a Marvin Harrison, a Malik Nabers, maybe a Brian Thomas Jr., or Romo Dunze, who are probably going to be gone by 17 anyway. Would you do that? Like, I like Marvin Harrison. Like, this receiver class is insane. Harrison Jr., Nabers, Odunze, Thomas, Leggett is awesome. His accent is insane to listen to. He's awesome. Like, Malachi Corley, Ricky Pearsall, Johnny Wilson. There's so many great receivers in this draft. Xavier Worthy, like, there's so many. It's enticing to trade up and get one of those guys. Can I ask you a question, though? I know you have to pay Ayuk this year. Do you think any of those players this year or next year are going to be as good as Brandon Ayuk, as accustomed to this system and ready to win from day one? Knowing how stubborn sometimes Shanahan can be with receivers, I don't think so. That isn't to say in 3 or 4 years' time they won't be, but at a time where you want to win now, where you're willing to pay $40 million for Joey Bosa, you're looking for a starting safety opposite Jair Brown because Hufanga may not be healthy, you're going to trade your best receiver? your most consistent offensive weapon, not named Christian McCaffrey, for a hopeful, good receiver in the draft. San Francisco is trying to hit home runs, not a double. They're not trying to go out there and say, oh, we tried, swing and a miss. You cannot be in the business of striking out when you're this close to hitting your mark. They tried with Trey Lance. Holy crap, what a miss. And I love Trey. I hope one day he gets to play, and I hope he's successful. But right now, oh my God. We're paying him $5 million on our cap. Swing and a miss. Right now, they feel, man, if we had those three first-round draft picks, you probably would have had your right tackle. You probably would have had your right guard. You probably would have had another piece on your defense, your number two cornerback. And you probably would have won a freaking Super Bowl this year. Why would you then trade Ayuk, who is Brock Purdy's favorite receiver, his youngest weapon that is ascending this year? It makes absolutely no sense. And right now, the Jaguars, by not paying Calvin Ridley, screwed you because the Titans paid him 4 years and $92 million and $50 million guaranteed. Like, that now becomes the asking price for Ayuk. So, if the interest is mutual between Jacksonville and Ayuk, you can also tell me the interest of Ayuk and money is also mutual. Of course it is. Ayuk wants to get paid. He's going to get 4 years, $95 million, probably 52 guaranteed at 25 average. He's getting paid higher than Debo. You're not finding a single receiver in this draft outside of the top 10 that'll be as instant impact, ready to go as Brandon Ayuk. I can argue Ayuk is the best separator in football. If not, he's number two. A willing blocker. Fits the system well. Relatively clutch. Like, why would you want to move off of your best and youngest offensive weapon? Not named Christian McCaffrey. Because, well, you know, first round pick. We love first round picks. When have they shown the ability outside of Ayuk and Nick Bosa to hit on first round picks? I'm not saying don't take a chance. But you don't take a chance moving Ayuk for that first-round draft pick. Nick Bosa is the only first-round draft pick to ever sign a second contract here. Why would you trade Ayuk when you finally hit on him in the same offseason you watched Kinlaw leave because he was bad for the first three seasons here? Like, losing Ayuk, actively, willingly moving off of him is darn near malpractice. Because you have not hit on the pieces when you've had first-round picks. You had a third overall pick twice, and you missed twice. Like, you had the perfect chance, the pick of the litter, and you had the same pick twice, and you nicked twice with Solomon Thomas and Trey Lance. And I can justify both those picks in a weird, twisted way, but my God, what you don't do is trade first-round picks that you hit on when they're your youngest and best offensive player. This is not a Tyreek Hill situation. This is we don't have anybody else that's this young on an aging roster. Like, the Chiefs have Mahomes. I love Brock Purdy. He's not Mahomes. Kittle's getting older. Debo's 29 next year. CMC, a lot of tread on those tires. Had a great season. Offensive player of the year. Like, there's no promise your guys hold up. Why would you trade your 25-year-old superstar, star in Brandon Ayuk, who's only gotten better 2 years in a row? If the news breaks one day, this offseason, San Francisco has traded Brandon Ayuk, like, don't even tune in. It'll be just yelling and screaming because what the heck transpired? Like, oh my God, like, this team has so many other needs than getting a young rookie receiver. First round should be right tackle. Second round, that can be a receiver. If it's that deep at receiver, why do you need to trade up for one? And in that same process, same breath, trade your best one to get one. It's draft one in round number two or three. Like, go look at the draft class of receivers. It is freaking deep. We're talking, like, Pacific Ocean, deepest of all time, deep. You can find guys in the fifth round that make an instant impact. Look at USC's Taz Washington. Oh my God, put him in this offense? Jesus. It'll make you forget they ever drafted Danny Gray in the third round ever. Ever. So the mutual interest here, no. I don't care if Ayuk has 31 other teams he has mutual interest with. I'm sorry, this is an exclusive relationship, my friend. I'm yours, you are mine, you will be a San Francisco 49er. Unless, somehow, the Bears are like, we got Keenan Allen, we got DJ Moore, it's not enough. We'll give you number 10 overall, which is not going to happen. Like, the only way you trade Brandon Ayuk is if you get a Tyreek Hill level package. Where it's like, here's a first, here's a second, here's a third. And you're like, the bring trucks, back him up. Which is not going to happen. And even then I might say, huh, I don't know. Like, huh, is it worth the $15 million this year losing your best offensive player? Is it worth losing Ayuk for the next, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 seasons when you can just trade Debo next year? When you can move off other guys next year? We already talked about Ufanga. Well, that's $5 million off your cap, and the cap's going to go up. Like, Ayuk's contract baseline's been set. 4 years, $92 million, $50 million fully guaranteed, 23 average per year. That is a Calvin Ridley deal. Ayuk is younger, and he's better. That's the baseline. Now you know what it's going to cost. You know what, like, when they come to the table, and they slide across the envelopes with it face down, you pick it up and say, okay, that's what you want. Here's my counter offer. You slide it back to him. It'll be 23 and a half. How about 24? How about 23 and a quarter or vice versa, whatever. Like, this is not going to be a, oh, we don't want to keep you. They've even said we want to keep you. This is not DeForest Buckner. Like, this is not the same thing. This is not, oh, well, if we keep the Buckner thing made sense, although it sucked. We can keep Armstead and we can retain Jimmy Ward. Who does this team need to retain by trading Brandon Ayuk? Who do they need to add? You can pay for a Justin Simmons now if he's cheap. You can add your depth guys now. Like, you don't need to pay anybody. Back then, you had to pay people. Oh, you got to pay Brock Purdy in a year and a half. Yeah, that's why you trade Debo next year. That's why you move off of guys next year. Not now. You go for it all now, knowing you have that rookie contract. So, I don't care what Mia has to say. All due respect, Mia. I'm sure you're a great person. Mia O'Brien, 92.5 FM, home of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I work for the home of the Golden State Warriors. It's radio. I've heard people at the station I work at say, Kawhi Leonard's coming to the Lakers, and he goes to the Clippers. Like, people hear things. Doesn't mean it's always right. Doesn't mean it's right then and then wrong later. Doesn't mean it's wrong then and right later either. It's just the offseason. Things are being said, as Brad Graham says, well, we're smoke chasers. This may have a little bit more fire than smoke, but even then, it's not like San Francisco ain't going and putting that smoke out itself. They're not trading Brandon Ayuk. They're going to get that gigantic fire hose and fire hose that entire fire down saying, I don't care what Jacksonville wants. You ain't getting him. Like, trading Armstead for Malik Collins made sense. You're trying to get off aging, injured players. What is Ayuk not? Aging or injured? And he's not non-productive. He's the most productive guy. So, no. If you have any more comments, by all means, put them down below. I ranted for so long on the Ayuk thing because it bothers me. It really bothers me. Because I see Niner fans on Twitter eating this stuff up. Of like, oh my goodness, we're losing Ayuk now? And it's like, no. It's March 14th. Teams are in the middle of free agency. And yes, like, take Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen made sense to trade. They're up against the cap. They want and they value, like Jim Harbaugh always has, the trenches. So what do you get rid of? Receivers in a receiver-heavy class. Keenan Allen's older. Extremely high price to pay for him, for a guy who is, although productive, also injured. Ayuk is the guy you pay, not Keenan Allen. Tyreek Hill, for as great as he is, what do the Dolphins won? Now, Tyreek Hill's great, by all means. He helps them win a lot of games. My point is that Kansas City sitting back, you know what? Tyreek Hill was like 27, 28, you know, getting older. We'll let Miami pay him. Ayuk is like 25. That's the guy you pay. Guy like Tyreek Hill is the number one receiver in all of football, right? He's probably the best one. They had Jay Jettas is great too. Plenty of other guys that have a claim to the title. Tyreek is one of a kind. There is nobody like Tyreek in football. Kansas City said, you know what? We love Tyreek. Tyreek, at a certain extent, is our offense. It's Mahomes, Kelce, and Tyreek. Kansas City said, we'll let you pay a 27, 28-year-old receiver. You can have his speed. That's fine. I guarantee you this. Had Tyreek been 25, had Tyreek been 26, man, I guarantee you they would have paid him. And like Robbie says here, it's a good point. No guarantee BA gets paid. Not a guarantee he'll play on a fifth-year option. Okay, so that is the one kicker that Mike Silver talks about, right? Where if all this comes to an inflection point, say it's April, couple days prior to the draft, he says, you know what? I'm not playing on the fifth-year option. What happens then? They can trade him, sure. Like trading him is not out of the realm of possibility. It's just very low on the likelihood totem pole. Okay? So what if they get to April, the draft's 26th, 28th? Say it's the day before the draft. I'm not playing on the fifth-year option. What do you do if you're San Francisco? Do you, one, trade him away and say, fine, it's a receiver-heavy class, we'll find somebody else and just hope that person works out, although your history wouldn't indicate it will. Or, two, do you keep him? The draft goes by. You then get your $18 million of cap space via Eric Armstead's contract and say, oh, this money we have, Brandon. Oh, man, if only you had this in your bank account. Oh, man. The same thing with Kittle and Debo and Fred Warner. The same thing they've always done. What do you do? I think Ayuk sits back and says, you know what? I've lost all my leverage. I can sit out for a year, but I'll get fined. You think San Francisco wouldn't fine Brandon Ayuk? They won't fine Nick Bosa. They know what Nick Bosa means to this team. They know what Nick Bosa is and means to the defense. You take away Nick Bosa, they ain't no defense. You take away Brandon Ayuk, great player. Number one receiver. Still got Debo. Still have Kittle. Still have CMC. All that is to say, you still pay the man. But you do hold a little bit of leverage here if you wait till after the draft. You have extra money to spend. He has no leverage anymore. Well, sit out. Yeah, well, here's a fine for not practicing. The first week goes by. Oh, you know, we'll give Ayuk a week or two, whatever. As soon as mandatory training camp hits, okay, here's your fine. San Francisco treated Nick Bosa like royalty. They'll give Ayuk a little bit of wiggle room here. They are not treating him like Nick Bosa. They will fine him if he does not show up. They want to pay him. They've told him they want to pay him. And they told him, we're not going to pay you until after the draft. After the June 2nd, $18 million comes in. They do things in phases in San Francisco. It is, how do we handle the draft? Get that out of the way first. Then divert your attention to Brandon Ayuk. They've done it with everybody. And Robbie says here again, for the record, I don't want to trade Ayuk, but I see no other way to fortify the O-line when Trent retires. We are screwed. Brandon Ayuk's extension has nothing to do with the offensive line. Yes, could it give you the number 17 pick from Jacksonville? You can get a higher end right tackle or a guard. Sure, all that's the case. You can also bring back John Feliciano. Put Mikhivic at the swing tackle position. Like, then you draft your right tackle in the first round. Okay, now you have right tackle and left tackle Trent Williams. You have your tackles, your cornerstones, your edges locked in place. If Trent plays two more seasons, like his contract states, you know what's great there? It gives you some time. You get that right tackle up to speed, and in 2 years' time, when he has, hopefully, 2 years and two playoff runs under his belt, you pop him over to left tackle, Trent says goodbye, and it's man. Okay, now what you do is you've also had two full drafts to plug and play people. You've already had to let go of other people. And Robbie, I'm not coming for you. I'm really not. What you're saying, yes, there is a certain justification behind it. Well, you can get a guard or a right tackle. You can get a right guard and a right tackle in the first round if you move Ayuk. All that makes sense. No one's denying that could be the case. All I'm saying is here, what gives you the best, like, don't think 2-3 years in advance. They don't do that. They think this year, Brock Purdy, rookie deal, Trent Williams is what, 35, 36 years old, he could be gone in 2 years' time, we have to win now. What makes you better now? They have 10 draft picks still. Who's to say, again, Robbie, they don't go right tackle first round, receiver second round, and guard third round. And we're sitting back saying, like, it's not even about positions that they draft, it's do they hit. The issue is, Aaron Banks, second round, that's a high pick. They didn't even play him because he couldn't play right guard. So it's not about where they draft these guys, although the talent is much better usually in the higher rounds. It's about do you actually hit on those picks. You have 10 picks this year. If they miss on every single one of them, what are we going to say? If they trade Ayuk, a budding star in the NFL, and they miss on the receiver or the right tackle they pick, what do we say? What a blown trade. Wouldn't you rather keep Ayuk, take your chances at 31 with a second and third round pick and many others still to come? Like, I think that makes a lot more sense. Now, this is actually a good point here Robbie brings up. I think we're jumping the gun talking about Brock Purdy being paid. They might make him play out his contract. I would lock him up because QBs are only getting pricier. Who knows? Okay. So, a lot of the breaking point, right, of, okay, it feels like as soon as you reach the mountain on Brock Purdy's, like, you reach the tip of that, you know, that four-year contract, that rookie deal, as soon as you reach the other side of that massive contract he's going to get, your potential of winning goes down. That's kind of the conversation you have, right? As soon as you pay that young quarterback off the rookie deal, your odds of winning go down, unless he's a Mahomes or a Josh Allen or one of the elite guys like Joe Burrow, right? A lot of that has to do with how much you have to pay Brock. I think Kirk Cousins got, what, 4 and 180. Baker got 3 and 100, right, this year. And like you said, the longer you wait, the pricier he gets. Let me ask you this. Now, I hope this does not happen. In fact, I want this to be literally MVP Brock Purdy and have him win the whole thing this year. That'd be awesome. I love Brock Purdy. Who doesn't love Brock Purdy? I think Brock Purdy is going to be a starter in the NFL, barring health, for a decade. He just feels like that kind of guy that grinds away an excellent NFL career. But it's not to say that bad years don't come along. What's to say? First year, he starts. Playoffs, tears the UCL. Second year, he starts the full season. Goes to the Super Bowl. Let's say this year Brock Purdy has an offseason where he's fine, he's good. What happens then? Are you still at the inflection point? And it's obviously a what-if conversation that may or may not happen, but it's certainly a possibility. If at that point you have to, let's say you get to pay Brock Purdy less money. Does the doubt of Kyle Shanahan creep in again? I've done this before. What if Purdy has a bad year? And Kyle's like, oh crap, we need a quarterback. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I don't want it to happen. I'm just saying that even if it's a 1% possible chance, you have to at least entertain that conversation. Brock Purdy is going to be good this year. I believe he's going to be good. I'm just saying the inflection point may not be as bad as people think it is. Like, Robbie, again, he's only gotten better. The mistakes get less. I am someone that's advocated for. The more Brock Purdy plays, his best strengths are his anticipation, how he reads a defense. Like Brock Purdy physically may not get better, although his arm strength was certainly better this year. But the more defenses he sees, the more situations he's in, he should get better. I'm just saying, okay, everyone's talking about, and so am I, of 2 years' time, you gotta pay Brock. This is your last season to have that rookie cheap deal contract, then you gotta pay him big money. That's true. What if he has an offseason and it's not as bad as it is? Like, let's say you're paying Brock $30 million. You're paying him Baker Mayfield money. It's not that bad at all. That's why you have to keep Ayuk, though. Because then you have to sit back and say, well, God, get rid of Debo now. And losing Debo Samuel is a much easier pill to swallow after the season than right now. The contract's easier to move. He'll be 29 years old. Like, San Francisco is kind of at a passing the torch moment without actually having to pass the torch to receivers in their offense, right? Debo's 28. Ayuk's, what, 25, 26. Ayuk is hitting his prime. Debo may have already hit it. He himself said, I was awful 2 years ago. I never want to put that on film again. And he was fine. He was good when he was healthy. The issue is, he was dinged up a lot. And he was dinged up in the biggest games of the year. He was on and off the field in the Super Bowl. He missed the Lions game. Like, come on. I think for San Francisco, pay Ayuk, knowing you can let Debo Samuel go next year. It is it may not happen. It is the most clean cut way out of what the presumed cap hell looks like. Like, San Francisco letting Debo Samuel go makes so much sense next year. Next year. Like, man. Like, this offseason has been great. They've improved in so many areas. They have some guys they can pick up here or there. But right now, like, they're going for this thing. They're going to pay Joey Bosa $40 million for 2 years. Why would you then trade Brandon Ayuk? If you're willing to pay up for an often injured Joey Bosa that's missed 20 games the past year, you're already paying Debo Samuel, who missed a handful of games last season. Why would you trade one of your healthiest players in Brandon Ayuk when he's ascending up the ladder of receivers in football? Like, in this case, 1 + 1 is not equal 2. like the limit does not exist in this case. Like, they're willing to pay up for some dogs. It's a great team. They know they have to run this thing back. And that does not mean trading away Brandon Ayuk. It means keeping Ayuk. That's what this season will be. You're going to pay Ayuk post June 2nd when you have $18 million. You've already tried to pay Joey Bosa. So why wouldn't you pay Ayuk? They'll pay Brock Purdy in a couple years. Who knows how much? Like, this team is not in the conversation of, they got to retool. No, this is a revamp. It's a get younger, get more durable offseason. Moving Ayuk does not align with the moves they've made so far. So I don't care how much mutual interest he has with Jacksonville. Or, we'll give you the 17th overall pick. I don't want to do that. It doesn't make sense to do that. Like, if they did that, I'd be sitting here like, what the, what the F is going on? You cannot preach durability and youth in the same breath say, first round pick for Brandon Ayuk, let's do it. for a non-guaranteed star. You keep stars in the building. You have to. You have to. That's what you do. Knowing you can move off the other receiver in a year and a half or a year's time. Had Debo just been paid last year, different conversation. They gave themselves an out in that contract. They gave themselves an out because they knew, hey, we're coming up on something here. Could be a problem. Like, if you go to Debo Samuel's contract on your computer, on your phone, just as of right now, Debo Samuel is 26 next year. With no restructures, they can free up around $9 million by letting him go next year. That you are not freeing, you're losing money. You're saving $2 million this year by trading Debo Samuel. Now you can save $9-8 million next year. That's when you move off of him. So today was exciting. Yesterday, you get Collins, you get Kendricks, you lose Kendricks. Today it was, oh, where's Joey Bosa going to go? And he's like, I'm staying put. You don't get him. You have four guys signing with you. Leonard Floyd hasn't signed yet. Mike Silver kind of drops this weird bombshell where Hufanga may not be a starter this year. They want to go sign a starting safety. Uh-oh. Then it's like they try to trade for Joey Bosa. $40 million. This offseason hasn't had a lot of moves, but there's been so much to discuss. It's awesome. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Hope you've enjoyed this Thursday night podcast show. I enjoyed my rants. I enjoyed the conversations with you. Please do not stop. Whether it's on YouTube, on Twitter, on Instagram, you can DM me, you can at me. Let's continue this conversation about the San Francisco 49ers. Twitter is at 49ers_access. Instagram, 49ers.access. Almost 23,000 followers on Instagram. Just hit 4K on Twitter. Thank you so much. It means the world to me that you guys care enough, a little bit about me, to follow me on Twitter and Instagram. If you're on YouTube, don't forget to like, share, subscribe. Renee, I see you. Thank you so much for the great show. Thumbs up right back at you. Again, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, leave that review, and stay tuned for more shows all free agency long. NFL draft is a month and a half away. We are going to ramp up to that day. Mock drafts galore, free agency talk galore, podcast galore, building up to a brand new NFL season come June, come July, and come August. And before you know it, it's week one of the NFL season. I cannot wait. It just ended, and I'm already ready for the next day, the next season. I cannot wait. I am bleeding red and gold, sweating red and gold. Man, I'm so ready. I want to hoist that freaking Lombardi. I'm so tired of losing it. I want to hoist it up and say, finally, the Niners have come back home. Put that puppy on the mantle and say number 6 has never looked so good. It's a long ways away, but the process starts now. It's keeping Ayuk. It's paying some stars. It's acquiring the right people. It's drafting the right positions and players. And all those conversations are going to happen right here. I do want to let you know, a little free gift on my behalf. If you're going to a baseball game, NBA game, NFL game, even a concert, use our promo code 49ersAccess. 49ERSACCESS at SeatGeek.com. Save yourself $20 off your first purchase. Again, it's a thank you from me to you. It's the cheap and easy way to help the show. And again, like, share, subscribe, leave that review. Thank you for all the chats, all the comments. And until next time, as always, stay faithful.